I want to talk to you about what is coming economically and how we can prepare for it with our faith. I'm going to mention Vanessa Weeks' revelation again because I've put a lot of advice in here concerning this, and we called it roller coaster fall. Like the economy, up and down, right? And she said, Barry, Julia, and I went to a fun place for a day not far from our house. There was a roller coaster, and I got on it. And after it started to go, I was scared and thought, why did I get on here? I hate the drops. It went up and up very high. And I started to pray that God would get me through it because I knew it was about to drop. And my thoughts are is that it sounds like an economic crash, which we have seen in dreams and visions, and is going to be permitted at the time of the earthquakes as a cover for mismanagement, I believe. And Vanessa said, when it got right at the top, it stopped. And the person running the ride said, get out. I believe that the one running the ride is the Lord, and he is saying, get out before the fall or collapse comes. And I believe we need to get liquid and ready to move. You know, the crash will come suddenly, and I believe it'll come soon. And she says, I got off the ride. And I do believe that this is saying that the righteous will get out of man's falling economy and into God's wilderness economy, in which there will be no drop or crash. In Philippians 4:19, we're told, and my God shall supply every need of yours, every need of yours, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This has nothing to do with man's economy. It has to do with our faith. And we know that the righteous will live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's right, but we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition or destruction. It goes on to say, the righteous shall live from faith. Have you begun to walk the walk of faith as far as the economy, as far as God's provision? If you're not doing that, you're going to be thrown into it suddenly. And it's better to do it now because you can lay up treasures in heaven by doing it now. You can prepare for these things that are coming. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. Oh, will they ever break through and steal? Yeah, the most major theft is about to come, you know. But the Lord commands us not to lay up our treasures upon the earth. And, of course, this puts us in a faith walk with him. Many people have to have this cushion or they just can't seem to make it, you know. But that's where you see miracles, you know. His power is made perfect in weakness. And he goes on to say, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, we need to know how to do this because this is where we're going. The bank is not going to be predictable, and it's not going to provide, and that's all in God's hands. He knows that. He doesn't want his people walking in the flesh anymore. So he's the one bringing this. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up? Yeah. Do you need these things in heaven? No. Why are you laying them up in heaven? It's so that you can use them and get them anytime you want. It's in the bank of heaven, and There's nothing they can do to steal that. He said, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. You just can't help it, folks. If you got it stored up, you got trust in it. If you lose it, then you got fearful. You need to do what he says to do. And so how do we lay up treasures in heaven? Well, Luke 12 and 33 says, sell that which you have, give alms, make for yourselves purses which wax not old, which means don't treasure it up on the earth, right? But he calls it a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Your treasure in the heavens will fail not. Okay, yours on the earth, it will fail. They will steal it. Where no thief draweth near, neither moth destroyeth. Yep, they cannot destroy what you've put in heaven. You can always get your needs met out of the bank of heaven. And the way to receive multiplied funds is Luke 6 and 38. Where he says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure ye meet, that means however you measure it out, it shall be measured to you again. That's the way it's going to come back. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. It's very simple. Now, this is what you need to do to prepare for what's coming. This is not my words, it's the Lord's word. And he means it, because he doesn't like God's people trusting in banks, trusting in their hoarded up money, and when especially when people around are in need. He doesn't like it. He commands against it. You disobey it at your own peril. Because they are going to steal it. The Lord's going to make sure. So, Vanessa said, there at the top was a door, which I went into. And at the same time, a woman from that room came and got in the seat that I had been in. And then I woke up. Well, the door is Jesus. Just as the scripture says, some will enter into him, who is our secret place of the Most High, and some will not abide in him, which is what those verses are all about. They're not going to abide in him. All major savings accounts and stocks and all this stuff, you don't understand. It's going to be stolen, hoarding up, you know. Some will not abide in him. He's our ark of safety and provision. Isaiah 33 and 16, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. His bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to take care of those who walk by faith, who have made a covenant with him, according to Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, right? She said, when I told my husband about this dream, he said it reminded him of Isaiah 43 and 4. And here it is in context, starting with verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Now fear is your mortal enemy. If you do anything because of fear, including store up your treasures, you're not hearing from the Lord. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. He's delivered us out of the curse of poverty, of need, so on and so forth. He will provide your every need. Right? I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine, and when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. That's pretty good provision and protection, isn't it? And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. In other words, he has permitted other people to take the judgment that was due to us. Right? Since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men in thy stead, and peoples instead of thy life. Well, that fits perfectly. One woman left the door, Jesus, and I believe that the woman there may represent a corporate body, and maybe Vanessa too. She left right at the top of the economy to go into God's economy because he said, get out. And when she left, someone come and took her place. Somebody who was not abiding in the secret place of the Most High. Vanessa said, I'm amazed that the Lord would give me this dream. He is showing me that we are precious to him, and he is in control of our circumstances. Yes, he is. Psalm 91 and 8 says, only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's the word of the Lord. You're going to see it. It'll make an impression on you. That's what it's happening for. It will give you the fear of the Lord. But I got to tell you, we need the fear of the Lord now to do what the Lord commands us to do. Okay? And Deb Horton sent this to me on the 12th. June the 12th, and it's about a financial crash cover-up. It's a dream that she had. She said, in a dream, Willard and I were living in our travel trailer. The timing is close because we just bought the truck to haul it with. He was angry or upset because the banks had charged everyone with certain fees, something like non-sufficient funds. Although that's not what it was, that allowed them to legally grab or freeze almost all the money in their depositors' accounts. The banks immediately announced that they knew it had been done in error and that they would fix the situation. If it's not done in error, they know exactly what they're doing, and they've already been planning for this. They wanted everyone to remain calm and, according to them, give them time to do the research and return the funds to their depositors, although that'll actually never happen in full. I had a thought in the dream that they were planning to continuously move money from one set of accounts to another, like musical chairs, and then keep doing that to make it look as if there was more money than really existed in order to buy time. However, they said it would take a while since it had something to do with the computer system. Oh, the computer system gets a lot of blame, doesn't it? But anyway, your money is not your money anymore, according to the new rules that came out a couple of years ago. It doesn't belong to you. You're just, your money is just an investment in the bank. And so I just ask you to remember that. I've been telling people don't keep a lot of money in the bank. I mean, I know it's easy to put it in there to pay your bills with and so on, and I don't see anything wrong with that, but on the long run, whatever you got in there is eventually going to get locked up. And you should do what the Lord tells you to do with it, because then you got it in a bank that no man can steal it from. I think the bank said some of the accounts that were confiscated were supposed to have been confiscated, so they didn't want the cheats and criminals to get away with anything. Well, I'll just ask you this question. Should this government be trusted to decide who is a criminal? Whose money do you think they will go after? Remember how they robbed the Jews in World War II? Okay. Of course, that meant all the innocent people were going to have to suffer until the situation could be resolved. Yep, and if you read David Wilkerson's economic revelation on our site, he spoke of 6 months of hell for these people because they would not be able to get their money out of the banks. Wow. You know, how do people survive in a situation like this? Well, the government plans on making you totally dependent upon them. That's what Jade Helm was all about. And once that happens, you think they're going to turn loose? Well, I can tell you this. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man." Of course, if you hoard up your money, that's what you're doing. You're trusting in man. And if you're putting it in the bank, you're trusting in man. And maketh the flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You see, when you trust in man, your heart departs from the Lord. And he says, you're cursed. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, like a tumbleweed blowing through the desert. Whichever way the wind blows, they go. And shall not see when good cometh, including what I'm telling you right now. This is good. This thing that I'm telling you, this offer from God to put you into his economy, this is good. See, some people will not see this, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, because they got robbed. And a salt land not inhabited. That sounds real bad, doesn't it? Well, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. Blessed, blessed. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Oh, glory be to God. That spreadeth out its roots by the river. Shall not fear when heat cometh. In other words, the wilderness, the deprivation, whatever. But its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. They'll not be careful in the year of drought. Oh, praise the Lord. Why? Because they got faith in God, and God always answers. And she said it was just a big mess. And then I woke up and I looked at the clock and it said 4:11 a.m. 4:11 stands for the information operator. It's also a highway through our area. So that was part one. And here's part two. When I went back to sleep, I dreamed I was speaking with the wife of the couple who owned the RV park where we were staying. She said, if the RV part represents the U.S., The couple could represent Mr. and Mrs. Average Joe. I told her that the banks were going to cover up a financial crisis by doing what the first part of the dream said. And I told her she needed to tell her husband. And just then, her husband came into the office. So I went over to him and told him what I'd just told her. And as I finished speaking, a tall, muscular, well-dressed black man walked in. He was their new hire. And I looked at him and turned to the husband and said, "He was sent here to kill you." And her thought or comment is, this may be a reference to years ago when I heard an international banker on CNBC casually admit to the host who was interviewing him, "Of course the banking system is designed to destroy the common man." And my thought was, well, the more people they kill, the more accounts can be confiscated. Remember, when they killed the Jews, they confiscated their money, their gold, their lands. Do you think it's going to happen again? Well, the things that have been are the things that shall be. So, you just make it easy for them by putting them in the bank. Right? So, put your faith in God. Learn how to grow in Him. The tribulation is going to begin soon, and you'll have to learn to walk in the wilderness. You'll have no choice. Except, of course, to take the mark of the beast. You can do that. Don't be afraid because the Lord is coming. He's coming in His man-child to teach the disciples in the wilderness or tribulation, same word in most cases, how to do this, how to walk by faith. He's going to demonstrate the faith. He's going to show them how to live, how to multiply the fishes and the loaves and all these kind of things. So don't be afraid, but do begin to act to get into the wilderness economy. Okay? Don't waste a lot of time. You need to be learning this. It'll make it easy on you when this comes. Besides, you're commanded to do this now. I mean, if you don't store up your treasures on earth, you're automatically put into a faith situation that the Lord will supply your needs. I've never had the Lord fail me. If I needed a house, He gave me a house. If I needed a car, He gave me a car. And that was because I did put myself in a wilderness situation and because God's power is made perfect in weakness. His power is made perfect in weakness. That means you get to see the bigger miracles. The rest of the folks don't ever get to see because they live in Egypt, right? So, Deborah Horton also reminded us of this revelation that she had back in January of 08 about bank runs. Now, this is definitely coming. If you paid any attention, for instance, to David Wilkerson's revelation concerning this, it's definitely coming. It's coming soon. And when it happens, like I said, according to his revelation, and so far it's worked out pretty good as far as the country's going down and so on and so forth. And there was actually two of these, and anyway, they're on our site. It's worked out pretty good so far. I have no reason not to believe the rest of it. And he said there was going to be 6 months of hell for these people. Okay? And I may say a time of training for the church. The church is supposed to believe their Bible. So this is a revelation that Deb Horton received on bank runs. I was visiting with my friend at the branch bank nearest me. but the branch layout was sort of a combination of two local branches, meaning it was symbolic of all banks in general. Yeah, I mean, the people that own them are all in cahoots. I don't know what we were discussing, just chit-chatting, la la la, everything going as usual day to day. So everything was just going along rather smoothly. And then the scene changed. And all the bank personnel, including my friend, were gone. I knew that they were in the back rooms. And her note is, hiding in shame and fear and also representing secret backroom deals gone bad. I had remained where I had been, behind a low railing that separated the regular area of the bank from the teller windows, etc. She said, we need to be separated from the banking system as much as possible. Suddenly, lots of customers started coming in until there was standing room only, symbolizing bank runs. The people milled about, and I remember that one of the men was carrying an extension ladder. And she put symbolizing an extended time, or even an extension ladder will not be enough to get out of the financial pit that has been dug. And I might say deep, deep debt. The debt ceiling is raised, you know. The people were definitely all working class. Some of them had painters' coveralls, etc., indicating their jobs. They kept milling about, trying to find someone to help them. How or with what, I didn't know. Until slowly, one by one, they left with their shoulders drooping. Still, no bank personnel came out of hiding. At this point, I realized that I was sitting on the floor, completely naked. And she puts a note here, meaning at rock bottom. The banks will not be able to cover the basic needs of its constituents. A lone customer came wandering in, a man in a suit, I think. He looked around, but there were still no employees to help him. When he seemed to notice me and my struggles to get covered, I was embarrassed, but also felt sorry for him. Before he could say anything, I spoke up and said, well, here you come into a bank looking for help, and all you see is a poor woman trying to get dressed. And her comment is, governments are not going to be able to cover up this mess. And I do believe that this is part of their one world order in the making. She said, the time previous to this I dreamed about the bank, it was just a giant kitty litter box behind the teller's windows. In other words, trying to cover up a stinking mess with perfume. Isn't that what kitty litter does? So also, Sandy Shaw sent this revelation that she just received. It's funny how all these things come together at one time, kind of, you know, in order to put together a picture. Actually, that's what dreams are. No dreams tell the whole story, and God really don't give the whole story to any one person. And but we line upon line here, a little and there, a little, learn more and more. So when these come in groups like this, well, we just know it's God's sovereignty. You know, he's just showing us, preparing us to be prepared for what's coming, right? And this was Sandy Shaw's revelation that she received on the 1st of June. In this 2016, she called it a time of chaos. So, you know, when dreams are doubled, tripled, quadrupled, you know, you can just know that it's going to come to pass fairly quickly. She said, in a dream, there was too much movement to pinpoint its beginning. There were people screaming, running around in panic, terrified, because those who trust in money have none to survive on. That's what the situation's all about. And then I woke up. This happened for 12 nights in a row. Kind of reminds you of Joseph, Genesis 41 and 32. As for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Well, this was doubled 6 times, so pay attention. I mean, you know what God is saying here. And I was praying for more. So then on the 13th night, I had the dream repeated, but it was continued. I was standing looking at what felt to me was local downtown, although I couldn't see any specific buildings. At the same time, I knew the same thing was happening in all other cities around us. People were screaming and running. A woman was frantically trying to open the locked glass door at a bank, and I saw a big black letter F hanging in space in front of that bank. The only thing that came to me was failed. It could be the beginning initial of a bank or something. First, whatever, you know, but I got failed as a, it's a synonym for bankrupt, by the way. And then I saw soldiers everywhere, and I knew martial law was in place. And of course, their reasoning behind this, of course, is chaos, you know, lawlessness, people going and taking what they need. What do lost people do but that? You know, when they get put in that situation, that's what they do. Crime will go rampant, you know. So you'll have to put your life in God's hands and trust Him for those kinds of things too, not just for your daily needs, but for protection from all the other garbage that's going on out there, right? So we see this this chaos from the crumbled economy, and then martial law is put in place, and then basically you don't have any representation in the government under martial law. You either do what they say or you get shot, you know. So if people like to demand their rights now, what are they going to do then? They won't have any. Then I'm here in my house, standing in the dining room, and I'm thinking, do I have everything that I need so I don't have to go into town? Well, it's a good thing to stay out of the way of the military and the crime spree too, right? Don't tempt them. Don't put yourself in a bad situation. Then a little old Mexican lady says to me in Spanish, Sandy speaks Spanish well, don't forget the matches. Don't forget the matches. Well, what came to me about this was that Mexico will fall first, according to David Wilkerson's revelation. It will renege on all of its promises to the United States. So this is a voice of experience. This is somebody that's already been through it. And so they're saying, don't forget the matches. Matches, of course, are needed for light and for cooking when power is down. What could bring the power down? Well, I could think of several things. Earthquakes, in a lot of our dreams, earthquakes are there when the economy crashes. Also, we suspect war is coming too. We've had revelations about that. So, she said, then I went to one of my oil lamps and was cleaning the dust off and filled it with oil. And I was thinking, I need to clean and fill the other ones too. Then I lit the lamp. And this light was bright, much brighter than expected. At that time, I knew we had no electricity. Okay, so the economy crashed, electricity crashed. Now, this could be for several reasons. It could be war or earthquakes. With it being dusk outside, the lamp inside gave plenty of light. I'll tell you a cool thing. Is these little yard solar paneled lights, a beam of light, you know, solar panel, and they charge up during the day and they work all night. So you can light your house freely on the outside, you know, when you're gone with one of those. And if you need it, you can just walk it inside. Turn it upside down on the solar panel, and it'll run all night long. Of course, you don't need it to run all night long. You don't need it to run a few hours, maybe, in the evening. Something simple like that. It's better than these oil lamps. But anyway, then I thought of the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, here's some good spiritual advice, you know. Matthew 25:1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Well, we know the bridegroom is coming. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. John the Baptist said that was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Okay, so we know that the virgins also in the natural in this parable are the escorts for the bride and groom to the groom's home at the end of the 7 days of the marriage feast. So God is using this for a different purpose because of things that are spoken in here. So don't get your timing all messed up, okay? But we know the bridegroom is coming at the beginning, and some people will be ready to greet him, and some will not. And 5 of them were foolish. And 5 were wise. I would say, yeah, that's kind of the situation we're in. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them. Yep, most of the churches in that situation, they're not filled with the Spirit of God, the anointing oil. They're not prepared for this thing that's coming. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit exactly the way they were filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. They are changing the word of God, and they brought themselves under a curse, and they brought their people under a curse by adding to and taking away from the word. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The wise will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this will also be a time for our light to shine for those in need. You know, it's going to be a great witness. People of faith are going to be a great witness to people who have no faith in God. Their only faith is in the system, and now it's crumbling and they're panicking. They need to hear the good news. They need to see someone that's smiling in the midst of this mess. Right? In Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. So Our spirit needs to be filled with the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. We need direction at every moment. We need faith at every moment. There's a big difference between the faith you have after the Holy Spirit comes in and the faith you have before that. You're all walking after your minds before that. And that oil is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there is a cry. Behold the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him. Now, we know that this isn't the physical timing of this parable, but a message is here for this time. So, let's pay attention to it, okay? This will be a time of the coming of the Lord in the first fruits to lead his people. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. The foolish will not be able to walk by faith, so their light would shine to others, right? And so they can see in the darkness, because it's a very dark time, as one of these revelations is going to tell you. But the wise answered, saying, peradventure, there will not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And I believe the Lord would say to us, give your life to gain your life, as Jesus said. And verse 10 says, and while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. So remember that door was shut, because I'm going to share another revelation with you that's very interesting. We just received a revelation about this door shutting. It's amazing how things come in like this. And different people who don't know what other people have received, you know. It's the Lord. Verse 11 says, afterwards came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. So, it's kind of too late to be among the virgins with the bride and the groom. Open unto us. But he answered and he said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Can there be virgins who don't really know the Lord? Yes, a lot of them don't know the Lord, not according to the Scripture. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. They have been in churches that deny the Word of God, cast it out. And they believe these liars rather than the Word itself. So, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. You see that? Watch. You don't know when the Lord is coming. And then I needed to know, was I prepared? Did I have enough oil? Well, be filled with the Spirit and His faith for this time that's coming. Then, when I woke up, Jeff had turned on the TV, and they were showing how they were making diamond brand matches. Now, that caught my attention, so I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. I will buy the matches. She had that mentioned to her twice, right? It was 2 days later that I was at Food City. And I was getting in line to pay when I heard that same lady in Spanish again, but this time in my ear. Don't forget to buy the matches. I got out of line and found the matches and got 6 boxes, which I believe is an indication of a long time without power. just be prepared, saints. Mostly put your trust in the Lord. Learn how to walk by faith. Then we came home, and I told Jeff the dream, and he questioned about all those matches. And I told Jeff the verse that I got was Mark 13:8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. There shall be famines. These things are the beginning of travail. The beginning of travail. I guess to bring forth the man-child, right? Notice he mentions war and earthquakes. Well, world war is coming to bring the new world order, because you always have a world war for a new world order. And the tribulation covenant. EMP, which is electromagnetic pulse, which is very portable now, could explain the grid going down and planes falling from the sky in other dreams, and also in fact, by the way, if you've noticed, that they believe that EMP weapons were used against planes for the last couple of years. Just dropping them out of the sky. We've got dreams, I'm not sure if they're on the site or not, about planes just falling from the sky. Just shut down. I remember seeing an invention this man had put on YouTube. This was years ago. And he was demonstrating how that when he pointed this thing at anything that ran on electricity, it just killed it. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how many world governments would be looking at this, wanting to find this fella and, you know, do him in, you know, and take his toy. Well, I never heard anything from him after that. And this was crazy to put such a thing on YouTube, but he was demonstrating it. So anyway, they do have, you know, even in jet planes and things, these tools, and in vehicles, these tools to EMP certain things. So she got that about earthquakes and nations rising against nations, both of which we know are coming. And then I handed him my Bible. I said, now you get a word. And what he got was Jeremiah 25:31. A noise shall come even to the end of the earth. Oof. Sounds like limited nuclear warfare will bring noise, and also EMP, by the way. It's just the natural side effects of nuclear weapons. And I do believe somewhere at the beginning we're going to see some kind of a limited nuclear war, because we've had dreams about it. Cities taken out. There's more than one reason to get out of the city. The coastal cities is where most of the population is. And, of course, if you want to hurt somebody, that's who you point your missiles at, right? For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will enter into judgment with all flesh. As for the wicked, he will give them to the sword, says the Lord. Yes, they come in the stead of the righteous, don't they? Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great tempest, a nuclear storm. I believe the evil going forth from nation to nation is probably missiles. And a nuclear storm, a great tempest, shall be raised up from the uttermost parts of the earth. Just think about it. How that you can send a missile halfway around the world and raise up this storm. And it definitely says, raised up from the uttermost parts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. And they shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried, probably because of radiation. They shall be dung upon the face of the ground. And also, you got Jeremiah 15 and 8. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a destroyer at noonday. I have caused anguish and terrors to fall upon her suddenly. Now let's go back to that door was shut. It sounded like some kind of finality that the virgins, well, by the way, this is the largest body of God's people. If you consider the man-child is a small body, the bride is a larger body, the virgins is the largest body. So we're talking about a large body of people. When you talk about five and five, you're talking about half of that body of God's people being shut out. And I can tell there's an awful lot of lukewarm Christians, apostate Christians, Christians walking in demon possession out there, for goodness sake. When God deals with you just so long about repentance and you don't obey Him, well, He does some drastic things. He doesn't want His body to be leavened by the trash that's out there that calls itself Christianity. The door was shut. Deborah Horton received this on the 6th. She said, I laid back down this morning after getting Willard off to work, and as I drifted back asleep, I heard a giant door slam. I asked for a word about that by random computer and received John 17 and 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world. Of course, that's what a lot of people think is going to happen. They're all going to fly away. But they're out for a rude awakening. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. Or evil, because one was added in. Keep them from the evil. The thought that came to me was, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the true church. But others will not escape this judgment, because church means the called out ones. We're not talking about the denominations, no more than the denominations in Jesus' day. He called His church those who came out of those Judaistic denominations. And it's still true today. The denominations are the most apostate churches out there. They ignore the Word. They lie about the Word. They lie about Jesus. They got another Jesus. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Be the church, which means the called out ones. What is it? What are we called out of? We're called out of Babylon, the harlot, the apostate church, denominationalism, and even the non-denominational isms. Okay. So I was just going by the random verse because I thought initially it sounded very ominous. Maybe Matthew 25 and 10, which we just read, by the way. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Well, the same verse as The Above Dream by Sandy Shaw. The only thing is, she didn't know Sandy had this. So, I think that's a good confirmation. The first occurrence of shut is Genesis 7 and 16. The law of first mention, we call it. Genesis 7 and 16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut the door. And so those that were left without were left in great trouble and great tribulation and death and destruction. And that's the verse that she got. So there's a great advantage to abiding in the ark, who is Jesus Christ. In fact, she makes the comment here that she says, that's interesting considering the land/ark revelations that we've had. Yes, because we know of a physical land that the Lord has provided, a refuge for God's people, but also it's an ark. And also the ark is abiding in Jesus Christ, and they're the only ones that need a refuge. The rest of them don't need one, and they're going to help them, and they're not going to find one anyway. We've had people come here, and God tested them and proved them to see if they had love, and they didn't, and they left. Because they thought, this is the thing to do. You know, nope. God won't permit it. He won't permit it. He won't permit you to escape tribulation if you need it. He loves you that much. Actually, nobody's going to escape tribulation. The man-child ministry is going through it now. The bride is going through it somewhat and will still go through some more. And then, of course, the church is going into it. So, Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And of course, salvation is soteria, which, as one Greek has said, it means all my needs supplied like a baby. Do you walk by faith for your needs? Do you learn how to walk in this situation? Do you take opportunities to believe God rather than just run to the bank? See, this is the thing. We're in this McDonald's generation here, right? Quick food, quick everything. Gotta have it now. No patience. But you know, the righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. My righteous one shall live by faith, he says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which having at the first been spoken through the Lord was confirmed unto us by them that heard. So, do you want to escape? Well, in order to escape, he's not saying to take you out of the world. That's false doctrine, just as he got through saying here. He's talking about bringing you through it, escaping the evil. So if you want to escape, don't neglect the salvation that the Lord gave you. The Lord gave you salvation. It has nothing to do with what men can do to preserve you, save your money in the bank, protect you by the military. You can't trust none of them, for goodness sake. If you want to escape, don't neglect your salvation. It's total and complete. It's spirit, soul, body, and circumstances, according to the Word of God. And Luke 21:36 says, but watch ye at every season, making supplication that you may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. At every season, making supplication so that you can prevail to escape. When the door slammed shut, it was very, very dark. And if you didn't know that the door was there, you would never find it. I think I was only able to see it because I was seeing it in the Spirit. You know, we're told, except a man be born from above, he can't see the kingdom of heaven. And that Jesus, who is the door to the sheepfold in John chapter 10, is closed. That sheepfold is closed to all but those that the Holy Spirit opens the door to, like the man-child. And Jesus said all that came before him were thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't hear them. Oh, thank you, Father. She said, last night the Lord reminded me of a dream from the early 70s. The very first dream I ever had with a door in it. I wasn't in the dream, but I saw a mountain and knew that it was the tallest mountain on the earth. I believe that this is spiritually Zion. It is the closest to heaven. There was a door, just a door, standing on the very top of the mountain. Well, we know that Jesus is the door on Mount Zion into the Holy of Holies, or into the presence of the Father, right? And we know that no one comes into the presence of the Father but by Him. He's the door, right? John 14 and 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. He's the way to the Father. You follow in His steps as a disciple, you'll find your way to the Father. And the truth, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. So He is the door. And we need to be drawn close to the Father through our obedience. If you obey the Son, you'll have the Father and the Son. That's what Jesus said. If you don't obey the Son, the wrath of God will rest on you. And she said, I knew that every living thing on the earth was worshiping the door. Well, 1 John 5 and 12 says, He that hath the Son hath the life. That's who's living, the ones that have the Son. He that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. So they're not living. Only those that have the Son. And this verse came to me, Ecclesiastes 4 and 15. I saw all the living that walk under the sun, that they were with the youth, the second, which is the man-child, that stood up in his stead. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus and the man-child is about to stand up. And he said, all the living that walk under the sun, they were with the youth. He's not talking about apostates that just claim religion. He's talking about those are the persecutors, always. He's talking about the living, those that have the life of God in them, the Son in them. He that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. God is sending us awesome leadership. He is coming Himself in a body of flesh, just like the first time, to repeat history. This time it's a corporate body. It's always fulfilled naturally the first time and spiritually the second time and so on. Okay? And 2 John 1 and 9 says, Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ, because many do, many are led astray, hath not God. So if you don't have the Son, who is the Son? He is the Word of God. If you've got the Son, you've got the Word of God. You have life. This is eternal life. to have that word manifested in you. That's what eternal life is. Hath not God, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ, hath not God. Doesn't matter that you accepted him as your personal Savior, as they say. Hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. So much for unconditional eternal security. Oh my. So, anyway, Deb went on to say, this really confused me and made no sense. This was her first dream about a door. It made no sense. At the time of the dream, I was deep into New Age, the occult, and witchcraft. And God was giving her a revelation of Jesus. But she didn't know it. She didn't know it. But, you know, later, she came to understand. Oh, praise the Lord. So, I felt to add to this because I mentioned earlier about it was the time of the earthquakes, that the dollar falls, that the Lord comes in his man-child ministry. That's all just before the covenant is made, and so on and so forth, you know, just at that time. And this is a revelation we called Dollar Falls, New Madrid Quake, and Riots. And this was given to Shane Warren. And Sid Roth interviewed Pastor Shane Warren, who's an Assembly of God preacher, on July the 10th of 2012. And Shane said, approximately a year or so ago, I was sitting on the couch. I thought I had fallen asleep when in reality I was in a vision, an open vision. And I have a large screen television in my living room. I was sitting on the couch watching television, and again, I thought I was dreaming. As I watched, there was a weather broadcast that was on television, and there was a news anchor who said, "The most amazing thing is going on right now. It's tragic. It's tragic." They were building this news broadcast around this event. He said, "Normally, hurricanes hit on the coastal lines," he said, "but there is a hurricane that seems to be spreading down or coming across the heartland of America." At that point, he showed a satellite image of America. And I was horrified as I watched a storm covering from the northern border to the southern border, from east to west, as this massive storm with the eye right over the center of America, a hurricane coming across the center of America. Well, now, wouldn't it make you suspicious if this hurricane started at the northern border and ended at the southern border? They don't really respect borders. So this is a problem that was peculiar to America, right? Something that is a major judgment to America and is has something to do with the government of America. Immediately came to this anchor. The anchor said, it came back to this anchor. The anchor said, "We have somebody on the ground in the eye of the storm. We're going to go to him now." So they pitched it to a news reporter. And this news reporter was in the eye of the storm. and as you would see in a hurricane, the wind is blowing violently, and they're being tossed to and fro. He said, "This is the most amazing thing. I don't understand it. This is not a natural storm." And of course, it wasn't. That was his words. He said, "This isn't normal." He said, "Look at what is raining." And he reached down on the ground and he's picking up and he holds in his hand a fistful of $1 bills. Well, it's a storm, all right, but the dollar bill is falling. He said, "This isn't natural. It's raining dollar bills." And the anchor and this correspondent went back and forth about the meaning of these dollar bills. He said, "I don't understand. It's almost like they're worthless." Yeah, they're worthless. It was raining dollars. And there was a note here, "A flood of printed dollars will make them worthless." Well, that's true. The dollars are falling, in other words, losing their higher value due to a world economic crash, no doubt helped along by devaluations like the QE1 and QE2 and QE3 and on, right? Because we have other revelations that when America crashes, the whole world's going to crash too. And despite the fact that the purpose was to bring America down, in the rest of this text, I believe it's true that they planned to do it. About that time, it came back to the same anchor. It appears that while the dollar is falling, the new Madrid is going to quake. Okay, we'll see that in a minute. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, another tragedy has hit America." He said, "Right in the heartland of America." Right there where the eye is, the bull's eye, right? "On the New Madrid Fault, a major earthquake has just hit." Well, a couple of things I'd like to say is we've already had dreams about this, that the earthquake and the fall of the economy are going to happen together. I do believe it's planned that way. It's a cover-up, you know, of mismanagement. But anyway, this means that the East Coast, New York, D.C. quake happened before the crash. Or it comes before the New Madrid. So this could precipitate this East Coast earthquake could precipitate this crash of the economy. And it appears from other dreams that that is so. Okay, so we'll go on. And I just wanted to point out to you, one reason I picked this out is because it makes it very plain that this earthquake has a lot to do with the crash of the economy. And I do believe also that this is the second earthquake, this New Madrid, which is the resurrection earthquake, which is also in the Bible called a great earthquake, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And I believe that's a representation of the resurrection of the man-child ministry. So you got these things happening here all in a short period of time. And immediately, pictures of devastation began to pop up all over America, the heartland of America, along the New Madrid Fault, as earthquakes caused entire cities to crumble. Why? And while I was sitting there, I heard a booming voice in behind my ear that said, "They have divided my land, now I will divide their land." may I say that it's probably not just America that gets these earthquakes. I remember Eve having a dream of 7 earthquakes or major earthquakes around the world that happened. And an earth tide would do that, especially an earth tide from a major gravitational force, like, for instance, Planet X. As it passed around, it would have an earth tide, and earthquakes would follow right in line. And this is what it appears happens. I'm not sure, but that's what I think. But the Lord says, they have divided my land. Who's doing this? Well, not just the United States, but the United States is probably at the leadership of this. But the other nations are going to get struck, too, for doing this. That's my opinion. Now, I will divide their land, God says. So it appears that more will be done to divide Jerusalem, which will cause this quake or quakes. And what could it be? I believe it could be the covenant two-state solution, which was actually agreed on years ago and is happening on the ground quietly for some years. They've been building roads, overpasses, and construction in order to divide the city. And, of course, this revelation here was in 2012. And they've been doing it. So I received a word the other day that from witnesses, actually, who said that this agreement's already been made. It's not something that the whole world has put together, though, and imposing upon Israel. But it is something that Israeli government is doing to prepare for this day. They know it's coming. And we did a broadcast on this years ago. I don't remember exactly how many, but it's been quite a while. Maybe 2012, I'm not sure. No, I think it's before that. And the Word of God goes on to prophesy in Joel, I believe it is, Joel 3, 1 and 2, that if we divide this land, that God will divide our land. I never realized the prophetic implication of that, but I knew immediately in my dream or in this vision that he was speaking about Israel and specifically Jerusalem and all that's going on right now, which tells me that this dream that I've had and all of the issues that are going on with Israel and Jerusalem that's taking place right now, Sid, it tells me that this dream that I had is about to unfold, because I heard that and I saw the incredible changes in the prices of currency. I saw silver, not gold, but I saw silver begin to drastically increase in value. Not gold, but silver, which to me is against my natural thinking. And I don't really fully understand. I'm not an economist. I'm a preacher. So this is a good possibility that gold will not be that valuable because they're planning on taking it up. Some people disagree with me on that, but I believe history repeats. I believe they're going to take up the gold. And silver will still have some value. So Sid says, well, I can tell you this. 20 years ago, I had a dream. And I've only had a few dreams in my life in which God has come to me and spoken very, very not symbolically, meaning very plainly. Very clearly, he said, and he told me the same thing. And that's one reason I'm really listening to what Shane is telling us. So go ahead. And Shane says, I saw with that riot, the riots began to break out. Major cities all over America broke out in riots. People were rioting in the streets, and on their sign is, "Give us our entitlements. Give us our entitlements." And it was literally war. I mean, it looked like civil war within our borders, but it was all over the issue of devaluing of money. And then said, immediately I was caught up and I was sitting in a room with world leaders. I can tell you that China was there, Iran was there, Russia was there, and here's what's amazing, Putin was there. Of course, this was back in 2012. And he just got reelected. So in my opinion, this is very soon. Yes, it is soon from God's point of view. Maybe not so soon from Shane's point of view or from my point of view. But I do believe it's soon now. And Shane said, I believe it's unfolding in the background, and I believe that world governments, including America, know it's getting ready to happen. In this meeting, these world leaders were talking about how to devalue the currency of America by buying oil with another currency, and somehow or another, that would drive down the value of the American dollar. Yep. Notice that the storm of falling dollars came when the enemies of America decided to buy oil with gold, as we're going to see below. And this could cause the U.S. to take up the gold, since that's the only currency they're respecting. As in the last Great Depression. I'm not saying silver won't be taken up one day. I'm just saying it seems to me that gold will be first and foremost. And when this happened, I realized that this is the storm. And I'm sitting here watching this, and I woke up and I realized I wasn't in a dream. I was still sitting up on the couch. I was looking at the television and I realized this was an open vision that God was showing me, the storm that's about to come to America. And for you listeners that are watching right now, I'm telling you, you need to get ready to turn towards God. We are in troubling days. And Sid said, what is the hope that you also were shown by God? And Shane said, oh, churches became cities of refuge. All of a sudden, the body of Christ stood up like a mighty sleeping giant in the earth and began to, I feel the anointing on me right now as I'm talking to you, began to minister. And people were coming to them, and I saw signs and wonders and miracles being poured out all over America. Well, let me say this. I know what the Lord has shown us is that this is going to happen. Well, he points out that this is a time when the New Madrid went off, and I pointed out that that's when the man-child is going to come. And I've also pointed out that the man-child is going to be the beginning of this man-child revival. It's going to come after the John the Baptist revival, but the man-child revival. You know, John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. His basic, you know, teaching was repent. And that's a good thing. It provides a way for the coming of the Lord. But the man-child revival is a miracle revival. Signs and wonders and healings to confirm the word that's being spoken, because man-child is a teacher. He's not an evangelist. And so the teachings have to be confirmed, like God confirmed for the early apostles their teachings by signs and wonders. So we're going to see a repeat of history. And this happens about the time of the New Madrid. I saw America being shaken as the worldly couldn't go to the government anymore. They had to come back to the church for help. I saw literally like cities of refuge. Entire cities became cities of refuge. Yes, we know about something like that. Where the scripture talks about that there was rain in one city and no rain in another city. I saw that. Well, that could have a double meaning. They're obviously trying to dry up California to destroy the breadbasket. And they're dropping all that water in the east. And so, yeah, I can see that. But also, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This rain that could fall on one city and not on another. That's happened before in history. He said, I saw that. As people were plunging into these cities because there was life there, there was glory there, the presence of God was there, and there was peace there, and they were running to that, and revival was taking place. Oh, good. Glory be to God. We want to see that, don't we? We've never seen anything like this that's coming. It's going to be very glorious. So, along with the New Madrid quakes, the man-child ministry will begin with revival. I believe that we have a two-sided coin taking place. That on one hand, judgment is beginning. That God has had his fill of immorality. That God has had his fill of complacency. And the other side is this glorious outpouring. Always when judgment comes, it's always unto mercy. Judgment, of course, is to restore the fear of the Lord. When people have the fear of the Lord, they don't have any problems. You know, God delivers them through the fear of the Lord, right? Fear the Lord and depart from evil, right? And Sid said, now, when you saw that money, what did that mean? Okay, well, Shane said, I saw great inflation taking place, that there's an economic storm. I know everybody is saying that the economy is turning around. And my message is not doom and gloom. My message is power and boom. Listen, God's going to get the glory here. God's going to raise his church up and people are going to see us. But I'm telling you that the economic storm is not over. It's far from over. The economic wind has yet to escalate. I saw great inflation. And this happened just a few weeks ago. The news media responded and confirmed this dream. I was in a dream. I was in the Middle East in a great room somewhere. Can't tell you exactly where I was, but I knew that I was in the Middle East and I was in an Arab nation. And there were leaders from the world gathered around a table. And Iran was there. China was there. And India was there. Pakistan. Turkey was there. Egypt was there. Russia was there at the table. In fact, Russia and China were major players at that table. And what they were doing is talking about how to devalue the dollar. And one of them stood up and said, I know how we can do it. America does no longer value their dollar based on the gold standard anymore. We will buy oil with gold, and we will change the way oil is valued according to gold, and it will drive the value of the dollar down. That would do it. So it certainly would do it. And by the way, these countries are buying up gold by the ton, and they've been doing it for several years. So this is their plan. They did make this plan, and they're following on course. And we don't know what happened to the gold over here. Even the Germans are asking for their gold back, and the Americans don't have it. Just a few weeks ago in the news, in all of the major newspapers, they were saying to their shock, to America's shock, which I do not believe, but to America's shock, there were private meetings going on, and now you have people agreeing to buy oil from Iran. This was back in 2012, remember? Russia and China and others agreeing to buy oil, and they're going to give them gold for oil. Okay. Well, I don't think we've seen the end of this. And if gold is the respected currency, guess what America would do? Just what they did before. Take the gold. And Sid said, right now, half of the people in the United States of America are dependent on the government for money. But when the government runs out of money because of hyperinflation, and with the devastation that you saw, there's only one place that will be able to supply the needs of the hurting humanity. And that was the place God designed in the first place. And Shane said, absolutely. I saw great demonstrations and even almost violence in the streets whenever these different things are lost. Because there's not enough money to keep up the subsidies. And whenever these things are lost, there's going to be violence in the street. But at the same time, I saw the church arise with healing in their wings for this moment. And I do believe that that is the church, the called out ones. He's talking about the real church. People are flooding out of the old denominations. You know, they see that there's so much more out there. Kids are raised up in the old dead denominational churches, and they're sick of it, and they've had enough of it. So they leave. They go for something better. They see more power. They see more scripture. They're not as frozen up as their parents are. So they go on. So these denominations are dying, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing that people are coming out of them. So the apparent sequence of events in this revelation is enemy countries meet to decide to buy oil with gold to devalue the dollar, and they're now buying up the gold. And the dollar begins devaluing rapidly, QE to infinity, I guess you'd say. And riots and violence for entitlements, and New Madrid quakes and more, and revival and cities of refuge, and on. God is going to get the glory. God is going to bring revival, and I believe because of prayers, not only ours, but many out there, that God is going to give time for the man-child ministry, the reformer ministry, to set in, to be very powerful, to get people ready, because at this time, like it says in Amos, or like Amos said, How shall Jacob stand? For he is small. So God is, God, I believe, is going to have mercy and bring about great revival, bring glory to his name, which I would dearly want to see. So we're looking for, I think, very soon, earthquakes to come. I think they, according to dreams that we have, they have planned for them to come. They even plan to set them off at a certain time, maybe a very opportune time. Like they obviously know when Planet X comes through here, so they may be planning something there. But also we discovered in some of those revelations, like one Sandy had, that it doesn't go off when they think it's going to go off. In one of them in particular, there was 3 days difference, so people were fooled and something happened. And so these earthquakes that are coming are going to bring about great revival. They're going to punctuate the fact that their economy is lost. People now need God. They never needed God before. All they needed was their bank account and their job, by probably both of which are now gone. And people are turning to God. Boy, can you imagine? We've never had such a situation as this. We had 9-1-1 and people temporarily went to church. And as soon as it was over and they remembered what church was like, they left quickly. They fled in terror, you know. But we've never seen anything like this, you know. There's so much need out there now. So many hurting people out there now. So much destruction in the family now. And this falling in on top of it, it's going to cause many people who have heard bits and pieces of this whole story, maybe even from their youth, they've heard, or from associates, they've heard bits and pieces of this story, and they are going to turn to God in a great way. And we've all been praying, you know, that the Lord do signs, wonders, miracles, salvations, and this is the way he's going to do it. It's always coming this way. Let favor be showed to the wicked. He won't learn righteousness. He will deal wrongfully in the land of the living, you know. Favor is not the way. It's got to be chastening. And the fear of the Lord. People don't listen. Even the church doesn't listen. So, putting all these things together, we can see that we're going to need faith to endure this economic collapse that's coming and the war that the government is eventually going to do against the saints, which I believe starts in the middle of the tribulation period, the Great War. I mean, Jesus basically taught the disciples and had relative peace. He said, I've lost none but the son of perdition at the end of his ministry, so I'd let you know something. And, of course, John the Baptist was beheaded, but he said that I must decrease and he must increase. So that's true. I mean, he was taken out of the limelight and Jesus was put in it for a purpose, for God's purpose. So, but relatively speaking, we're saying that there's going to be relative peace in much of the world. There's never going to be any peace until Jesus comes, but relative peace, not wholesale murdering of the Christians. Although you say it's happening in some places, David, yes it is. Yes it is. And I pray that people are repenting even as it's happening there, turning to God. And I'm sure that that's exactly what's happening. But the first 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, there was a relative peace in order to enable him to get the word into them and to make Jacob larger, stronger, able to take a frontal assault from the beast and the harlot. And so praise God, Lord. Let it be, Father. We've been praying and We thank you for moving mightily on behalf of your people. We know that you always know best, Lord. And who are we? What do we know? Lord, we only put together bits and pieces of what you show us, and you don't show us all of it. And we do our best to help people receive, understand the words that you send us, and which is what your Bible tells us to do. Let the prophet speak. So we share and we watch to see. And Lord, we just praise you for your mercy and your grace. We know that you too are desirous to see a great revival and a great reformation. And we too, I've been, since almost the beginning of my relationship with the Lord, I've desired to see a reformation for God's people. And through history, there's been many smaller reformations to bring people gradually back to the truth. And some worked and for some, and some didn't work for others. But this is going to be the greatest reformation. Many people, because of the fear of the Lord, are going to turn to God with all of their hearts. And there's going to be such a great move of the Spirit, such mighty signs and wonders that the leadership of the Pharisees is going to fall out with it, right? And Islam is going to fall out with it. And eventually they're going to decide we got to get rid of these Christians. And the powers that be are going to be quite in agreement with that. And so there's going to be a war on the saints. By that time, you need to be strong in the Lord. You need to be know what His Word says. You need to be able to walk by faith to escape these things. And as we read to you, escape all these things and stand before Son of Man. So you need to be strong. Don't waste any more time. Any more time. Father, draw your people. Draw your people unto you, O Lord. Cause a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and truth, Lord. And we know that that's soon to come. And we thank you for it, Lord. We ask, Lord, that this touch people in every home, that it reaches all over the nation. We know you're going to have cities in which revival has taken over. And people will flee there to find out about God, grow up in God, learn how to walk by faith, for they're going to see that the end is upon us. They're going to know, not just in their head, but in their heart, that the end times are here. And the death toll, the devastation and destruction, when people, especially people in America, have felt pretty much apart from any kind of judgment like that coming on our shores. But even now, people are realizing that they're filling the country up. Just today, I think 50 people were killed in a homosexual gathering by one Arab. Okay, so, and they do, just as had been said, they do hate the homosexuals. And we don't hate them, we just want them to be born again, saved and delivered from all that stuff. But they hate them. And this is just another case of someone from ISIS who was imported into the country to do their dirty work. And you're not seeing, this is not the end of that. Obviously, it's the boss's troops are here. And there, I heard recently about them coming across the border in white panel vans and white coach buses earlier than that, you know, with Homeland Security on the side of it. You know, we've been overthrown. And witnesses saw these things. So, we've been overthrown. But the Lord, I believe, is going to have mercy and give us this awesome, awesome revival. And yes, it will be in the midst of trouble. The earthquakes haven't been overthrown. They're planned and they're going to come to pass. And I do believe that they're going to be very helpful in bringing, and look, this doesn't mean I desire, I want to see lots of people killed. I will say to you that just what we read in this revelation here, the wicked who are not ever going to be saved are going to come in the stead of the righteous. So that gives you some comfort. Nobody wants to see people killed wholesale. And we'll do everything we can to save anybody that we can. But this is going to restore the fear of the Lord and start a great revival that's going to sweep multitudes into the kingdom of God. And that's not a bad thing. This is talking about eternal. The people that die that already have eternal life, they're going to be with the King, you know. And those that die that are lost, God already foresaw that they wouldn't come to Him, you know. Foreknew that they wouldn't come to Him. And He brought them instead. So, Father, Your wisdom is just astounding. We always think we know enough to tell You what to do. And it is kind of stupid, isn't it, Lord? Forgive us. Forgive us. We always think we know better than You, and You should do this, and You should do that, but and Lord, You're just merciful. We come to You asking You for mercy, and You give mercy. In fact, I'm astounded at how often You answer that prayer, Lord. Have mercy. You want to have mercy. You said we have not because we ask not. So we're asking You for mercy for Your people, Lord, that Jacob would be able to grow up in knowledge and in stature, and in favor with God and with man before the beast is turned loose. Basically, You've already turned the beast loose on the man child and somewhat the bride. And it's been a maturing process and a sanctifying process and a getting rid of those who don't qualify for the bride. So, we thank You, Father. Your wisdom is above ours, and we bow to You. And in any way, Lord, that You can show us how to better be more successful in our prayers because we understand You better, please help us, Lord, to do that. Please thank You, Lord, for opening our understanding so that we can cooperate with You in this great plan of Yours. At the same time, Lord, You tell us that all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. But believing we have received is a gift from You too. So if we are asking for something that's totally out of Your plan, You just sometimes don't give us the faith to be able to believe it and endure to see it. So, thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your awesome wisdom. You do know best. Help us to see what You're doing so we can pray in that regard. Thank You for Your mercy, O God. Thank You for granting us grace to turn to You, O Lord. Father, we just desire earnestly to see our families come in. I pray that everyone listened to the last broadcast concerning that. How we have a right to believe for our families if we're walking righteously before You. I pray that everybody went back and studied that and even took the verses and prayed those verses, because we're preparing here for a great revival. And I know what was revealed to me years ago, that in this coming revival, many children, wives, husbands of those that have been believing are going to come into the kingdom. Oh, praise your name, Father. Praise your name. Lord, we're so looking forward to seeing that, Lord. You are a great and merciful and mighty God. And you love us. And Lord, we appreciate you. Draw us. Draw our loved ones. Draw the people that we've been witnessing to. Draw them. No one comes under the sun except the Father draws. So, Lord, we just ask you to draw them. And Lord, thank you for this revival. Thank you for the provision all over this country that people have need of in the times to come, that they will know you as Jehovah Jireh, the provider, and that they will come to realize and believe that you're a mighty Savior and a mighty provider and a mighty protector and all these things. So we thank you, Father. Thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you so much for your grace. Hallelujah. Well, all right, saints. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please keep us in your prayers. Thank you so much for your goodness to us and praying for us and supporting us and everything. Thank you so much. We're still working hard to get these books out. We got Amber Bristol working with us real hard right now, getting books out. She's a blessing. Thank you, Father, for blessing her with wisdom and understanding, and Deb doing the editing, and Brad Moyer's working too. And we've had quite a few people over the years that, you know, are kind of unsung heroes, you know, to help us to get these things out. We got brethren like Darv and Judy that are handing out these books to prisons and to different places, you know, where people need to hear. And we just thank the Lord for everybody out there, too, that are getting the books and passing them out to people. And Lord, we just praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.